Now we're going to be looking at part of that passage in Luke chapter 4 tonight. So if you wanted to have that open in front of you, that would be helpful. One of the things that you may notice is that I'm tending to read from the ESV. There will be slight differences between what you find in the New King James, but they will be very similar. So we look around our towns, our counties, our country, and the world today, what do we see? Well, we see progress. We see wealth. We see improvement. Well, it depends on how you describe improvement. Do you see happiness? Maybe you see some sort of happiness. Maybe even some joy, hopefully. But that's not necessarily the whole picture that we will find. Back in 2012, there was a song in the charts, the record charts. I don't know, looking around, I'm not sure how many of you might be avid studiers of the music charts, going back to my days when I was in my youth. Top of the Pops was maybe the thing that you'd find out what was going to be number one. Anyway, back in 2012, there was a song that reached number 12 in the charts. It was actually by a Christian, a group of Christians at the time. And it was entitled 27 Million. The purpose of this particular song was to highlight the estimated number of slaves that there are in the world today. Incredible, isn't it? 27 million. Those affected by what has come to be known as human trafficking. And that's 200 years after that Christian MP, William Wilberforce, was involved in the abolition of the slave trade in the empire. 200 years on, we've got 27 million slaves. That's the estimate that there is in the world today. You look at the headlines. In the UK, knife crime is seen to be a major issue. And when I was first starting to look at this, there had already been over 100 deaths in the London area alone as a result of knife crime. We see and hear of gang culture, addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs, progress, improvement, happiness. Anxiety and depression have been estimated to cause 1/5 of all days lost at work in the UK. And a recent survey showed that 1 in 6 adults have some form of common mental disorder. Happiness, improvement. Norfolk and Suffolk, are they exempt from these things that we're talking about? Who knows what is happening within a 5-mile radius of where we are now? We do not know. Those things often tend to, by their very nature, to be very hidden. One of the things that I also highlighted came across in my research is the number of young men who are addicted to gaming. They sit there for hours on end. It happens. It is out there. We see a catalogue, yes, of improvement, but also sadness, misery, exploitation, and captivity. Doesn't sound as though I've got very good news tonight, does it, in terms of what I'm talking about? But I think very definitely tonight, as we look in Luke chapter 4, we will see what the answer is to all of these issues. So, what's the context? Thank you to Steve for reading through that whole passage, just so you get the idea of where you're going with regards to the the particular piece, part of it that I want to look at. Jesus was in Galilee. He was being well spoken of. And here he is in his hometown. Right? I won't ask how many of you. I'm sure there's a few people here that your hometown is Stowmarket. Yeah, you've always been here, and this is where you've been from. But this was the hometown. This is where Jesus was brought up. And on the Sabbath, he goes into the synagogue. This was his custom. This is what he did. And they knew he had been out and around the area speaking and preaching. And so he was asked to speak in his own home synagogue. Now, we're not told, did he choose this particular passage? Or was it one which was chosen by the attendant who was there? But he stood and he took the scroll and he read some verses from Isaiah 61. So what of this passage? Isaiah. It had been written many hundreds of years before. It was written to those who were going to be sent into exile in Babylon. There was a message of hope in there for them to hang on to. And God was speaking to them through the prophet Isaiah. But as with many Old Testament prophecies, it wasn't just simply about what was happening to them at the time. It wasn't simply about you will go into exile and then you will return. It was also about what was to come in the future. The promised Messiah. The Messiah who'd been promised all the way back in Genesis. So Jesus read those words from the beginning of Isaiah chapter 61. He rolled up the scroll and he sat down. That's, if I'd started off this evening and sat in the chair to teach you, that might have been, and to preach from there, you might have been a bit surprised. But that was the way things were in those days. And how did Jesus start in his preaching? Today, this scripture, these words are fulfilled. And he spoke to them with authority. And that's certainly one thing in his ministry that struck the people at the time. As we read on in that passage, the initial reaction was very favourable. The people thought, yes, this is our Jesus. But then, as he went on to expose what they really thought and felt about him and his ministry, they turned nasty. Not just nasty, they even desired to kill him. And they took him to throw him down from a height. But he walked through unharmed. The message that we have, the message of the gospel, is not always going to be favorably received. Very definite negative response here. So, this passage in Isaiah was one which Jesus told us applied to his ministry on earth. And I think that it clearly applies to each one of us here this evening in some way. So, we're going to be looking particularly at verses 17 to 21. So I'm going to read those again. Again, this will be slightly different in terms of version. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news." I think it says in the New King James Gospel, to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." So he starts there with, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Was Jesus really pointing to the fact that he is the Messiah. He was the anointed one. So, we're going to be looking at good news to the poor, liberty for the captives, and sight for the blind, and seeing where they take us this evening. So, good news to the poor. So, what is his focus? His good news. Is he going to be providing money, food, wealth for the poor? Is it going to be a social gospel? Is he going to be getting out there and meeting the needs of the people in that way? Altering their personal circumstances. Looking at the ministry of Jesus, that's not what he was talking about. Not in this case. He didn't have many funds to distribute to the poor. Poor was sometimes used in a different way by Jesus. If you think back to when he was in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God." When that's quoted in Luke, it said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." It wasn't just in the New Testament, though, that when you talked about poor, there was a different idea which comes into this. Isaiah, just a few chapters later on from Isaiah 61, says what the Lord has to say. "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Contrite in spirit. One of the things which is in the Isaiah 61 passage, which isn't quoted here, and Luke was possibly talking about where Jesus had his points of his sermon. And in fact, one of the things that was missed out was, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Maybe a little bit of a commentary on what Jesus was meaning by poor. Those who are brokenhearted, poor in spirit, humble and broken for whatever reason. If we look around us today, there are people who are broken. I don't know your hearts and minds this evening. You may be feeling broken at the moment for a whole range of different reasons. Jesus came with good news for those who are poor in spirit. At the beginning of the sermon, I highlighted the state and condition of many today. We talk about people who have mental illness, anxiety, oppression in mind and spirit. There are so many people who are hurting and weighed down. Where do they go for relief? Well, the experts, the professionals, the media, it's medication. Medication is the solution. Counseling, treatment. Now, actually, these things can be very crucial in terms of helping people. But underneath it all, do they always get to the root cause? Jesus is saying here that he has good news. The Church of Jesus Christ has good news. What then is this? The message of salvation, the work that Jesus came to do and did, that was the good news. And we'll talk more about that towards the end. But it's important to remember that as Christians, we're not always immune to those things that can crush the spirit. The good news is that we have a Saviour, a loving Heavenly Father, and a Holy Spirit. We have one who understands us, who knows us, and who loves us. We also have been put, if you look around us tonight, there are those in the church that we can go to and who will provide us with help and support too. He does not leave Christians on their own. There is opportunity there for help and support. What if you're not a Christian here tonight? Maybe you're seeking. Maybe you recognize that you have a need. You are poor in spirit and humble and needing to hear what he has done. The thing to do is to listen. Then maybe you're not here out of choice. You may not see yourself as poor, but actually you are. Because you do not have what the Bible talks about as the pearl of great price, the truth of Jesus living in your heart. So, good news to the poor. Secondly then, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. The people of Judah were going to be sent into exile when Isaiah was talking to them, taken by their conquerors to a foreign land. Why? Because they refused to follow the commandments of God. But they were to return. There was the promise of God, and it came true. Jesus talks about liberty for the captives at the time when he had his ministry. Some, and we can see this as he goes through his ministry, thought this would be delivery, freedom from the Romans. Maybe some thought he was going to empty the prisons and let people free. Again, this was not the case. This liberty, this freedom that Jesus spoke of was to come in a different way. How do we see people as being prisoners today? Well, maybe people can be prisoners of their psychology, natural way of thinking, our personality, the oppression of the mind that comes in. Or maybe they see they're prisoners of their circumstances, how fate has dealt its hand. We find it impossible sometimes to get out of a rut as men and women. And sometimes things just go from bad to worse. Maybe we're prisoners as a human race of our upbringing. Or that outdated term class. But actually, that's part of our background. Maybe we're prisoners of our culture. Those things that have been drilled into us. But people too can be prisoners of the way of thinking that we have and how we see the world. We cannot see the truth. Men and women cannot see the truth. Do you remember those words of Pilate? What is truth? And very definitely these days, this term truth is being messed about with. And we talk too about those who are in that appalling situation we talked about with regards to being slaves. There are more slaves, as I say, at this time in human history than ever before. A sad indictment of what's going on. But at the heart of each of those reasons for captivity, at the heart of those imprisonments, is one from which God and only God can release us. God's word tells us that every one of us was a prisoner of sin right from our very birth. Galatians 3:22 says, the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The Old Testament declared the whole world is under the power of sin. Sin is our jail keeper. It holds on to all men and women and children. And there is condemnation. It tells us that each of us is a captive to sin. And that affects our whole lives. In Romans 7, Paul writes, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. And just a few verses later, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. This is at the heart of our imprisonment. Each one of us was born in this state. Every single person on this earth, whatever their difficulty and their problem, sin was there from the very beginning. Remember David's words in Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are sinners right from the outset. It may be that you do not feel this is a situation for you. Actually, you can't see the bars that are there around us, that are hemming us in, that are taking us forward in this particular way. Actually, one of the things that we do is suppress the truth. But before we look at the solution, let's deal with that third point. Recovering of sight to the blind. This is something that Jesus did do literally in his ministry. He healed people who were blind. But it also has a wider application. Spiritual blindness, something which everyone has as a natural part of their lives. We're blind to the truth. If we look around us, we see such beauty. As we're coming along in the car, I love this time of the year. I don't know about you. The poppies on the, you know, in the fields and on the hedgerows, they're just so beautiful. You go out on a dark night and you look above you and you see the stars. The beauty that we can see in creation. You stand by the seashore and you watch the waves come in or crash against the rocks. Fantastic. All the result of random chance. That is what so much of the media, so much of the world would say to us, purely as a result of chance. But we know there is a Creator God. So much evidence to show that there is someone who designed what we see around us, who made what we see around us. And what about the evidence that there is about Jesus? So much information, so much evidence about his ministry. But people reject this. They rejected Jesus at the time. They've rejected Jesus since. They don't want to believe. Maybe sometimes it's they don't want the implications of believing. The truth is suppressed. If we look at our neighbours, those people we come across, the ones we come into contact with round about us, maybe some of our friends, relatives, they just don't want to accept the truth. We're actually living in a world now where warning people about the consequences of their actions is seen to be hate. And it's actually respect, even loving, to let them go to destruction. The world is blind. Jesus is quoted in John chapter 9 as saying, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Jesus came that there would be recovery of sight for the blind. He came with good news for the poor, and he came to set us free. Here in Luke, it starts with the year of the Lord's favour. The time of favour from God. There was going to be freedom. Going to be release. There is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ a release. We're captives to sin and because of sin. But Jesus gives freedom for captives. He gives forgiveness for sinners. But how can this be? You may want to turn just for a moment to Romans chapter 8. Fantastic chapter in the letter that Paul wrote. There are so many fantastic chapters, aren't there, in Scripture. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. How did he do this? By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those first words there, no condemnation. How? Through Jesus Christ. The one who came and was speaking there that day, that Sabbath, in Nazareth. He became the sin offering in our place to set us free. Because of Jesus' death, because of his life, because of his sacrifice, we've not only been taken off death row, but been taken into the family. So how can we obtain this? What is there that can make a difference in our lives? The truth. Believing the truth. That sets us free. The Son sets us free. Faith in Jesus Christ. Believing in him. Trusting in his death. Repenting. That is the way that we need to come. That is the way that Jesus was opening up in that particular way. Have you been set free? Is that your situation? Are you trusting in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross to make you right with God? This is the only way. We will look around us and we will hear different messages these days. But this is the only way. And if you've not been set free in this way, coming to Jesus, repenting of your sin and putting your faith and your trust in his death, then you're still a captive of that sin, still a prisoner, not set free. But what of those of us who've already taken that step? We're already spiritually rich. We're not poor anymore. We're not captives. We're free. We're not blind. We can see. The words of the Lord Jesus are a wonderful message. If tonight you're already trusting in him, this proclamation that he made those years ago, that quotation from Isaiah, has been fulfilled in you, in us. But what about those around us, those we come into contact with? Do we see their desperate situation? Our neighbours, our family, our friends. And sometimes when we think, are we going to be making that step of talking to them? We wonder what others will say when we speak about the gospel. But remember who it is that we are proclaiming. It's important to remember that there are others who are preaching a different message. Jeremiah said these words, about those who bring a different message. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. As we reflect this evening, as we think, let's cry out to God for the opportunity, for the strength and the courage to speak the right words at the right time. And if you are still a captive, there is a way of freedom. There is a way to be free. And that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now going to finish by singing together number 464. Go forth and tell.